Hi, and welcome to the Just Riding Along show.
Hello, and welcome to episode 192. Tonight's show is brought to you by Most Memorable Bike or Digging Holes. We'll find out. Andrea will decide. And
sometimes I just decide, like, based on some topic, or usually like a joke that Kenny makes, or, you know, like a Kenny one-liner. Sometimes that's the title of the show.
I feel betrayed.
I mean, last week it was something like something about rants, I think, because we did a lot of rants.
Yeah, there were a few. There were a few. I'm much more centered today. We'll see, though. I just cracked a beer, though.
Oh, God. Well, I'm gonna...
Like a light beer or like one of those 12% kind of beers?
No, she's right down the middle.
Okay.
Well, drink it really fast and I can get you fired up. With all that said, I'm going to talk about what I've been doing because that's what we do. I've been pretty busy at work. We had some planned and unplanned absences. I don't mean unplanned in like an ominous way. I mean, there was just some family stuff some people had to attend to. So the shop was a little bit light staffed, but at the same time, weather in Salida area got a little bit, I'm not going to say poo-poo-y, but it was just very
moist.
It was very spring.
It was moist.
It rained multiple days in a row.
Which is wonderful.
It's great. And I've made the decision that... As a Coloradan, you say, yada, 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 and you're bitching about the rain, and that's okay as long as you go, but this will be good for fire season, so maybe the whole world doesn't burn down. And the other part about that is, wait, my brain. Rain is like doing intervals. You're not really happy while it's going on, but it pays off later.
Yeah.
So... That was kind of a good bit of my week. I did get my Canyon 96% tidied up and ready to rip, but I need two more parts to really make it mine.
A dropper post and a real front tire?
Nope. I'm not going to change the front tire. I'm going to ride those icons for a bit, only for the sake of I haven't ridden an icon in so long. I want to see how much better a recon is, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think having a short travel bike like that opens the door for trying out some of the new stuff that you haven't tried, like a Forecaster.
I think a Forecaster's too much for that bike. I mean, I've looked at it in person. It's a chunky. I mean, I think a Recon is the sweet spot. That's what I rode on the Epic, and they did great. Got transmission installed on that bike. I did have to pull the seat post that came with it because I haven't been able to make contact with Canyon through.
We've got a listener question about that.
Yep, I know. But I've made multiple attempts to get in contact with Canyon to figure out a part number, and I can't. So
because it came with a carbon railed saddle.
It came with a carbon railed saddle, so 7x9, and I need the millimeter round adapter, like, ears, clamps, whatever you want to call it, for the top of the seat post, and I haven't been able to figure that out. So let's see. Pedals, heavy seat post. When I say heavy, it's a Thompson aluminum post. It's nothing fancy. And after holding the other one in my hand with a saddle on and holding the Thompson one, I'm like, whoa, bitch is thick. Let's see. Bottle cages and computer mount. Sealant in the tires, ready to ride, minus a repair kit. It is 23.75 pounds. So I'm fucking stoked.
So that Recon's around in 2.4. It's around 900 grams-ish.
No, go back. Yep, around 900 grams.
You keep talking.
Yeah, and I'm really stoked about getting on that bike, but I got all that. So yesterday was just a day in the home workshop. I got my Crave ready to sell. It has DT aluminum wheels, XO Eagle, and Shimano brakes, a rigid fork. It is going to be a very bargain bike when it goes. So got that all cleaned up. Andrea's Mayhem sold, my Scott sold, and now I need to get the Crave sold and the fat bike and the dirt jump bike.
Depending on which compound you get, the 29x2.4 Forecaster is, the lightest is 905, and then... Oh, they have it in EXO Plus. In EXO, oh, that one's not. Oh, that does say. Sorry. Yeah, depending on which compound, it's either 900 or around 950.
Yeah, but so, it's going to roll slow.
Sure.
I mean, it's going to roll slower than a Recon, which is going to roll slower than an Icon. ultimately, I would love to be running 2.4 Recon Aspen on that bike. I think that's going to be the tire for it.
All right, keep going.
So, yeah, yesterday got the Crave all tidied up, and then I got the Scott all sorted out, and I fixed up my neighbor's bike, and I just generally cleaned the shop. It's amazing how blown up a workspace can be in no time.
Oh, my God. I went in the shop. Matt had gone inside, and I went in the shop, and I just needed, like, some TriFlow. It's normally on this shelf. Couldn't find it on the shelf. And then I just looked around at the benches, every flat surface in the shop, everything. And I'm like, and I walked inside and I was like, hey, you all done in the shop for the day? He says, yeah. I said, are you going to clean it up a little bit? He's like, yeah, I guess I should do that.
Well, yeah.
It looked like the shop had exploded. Like the toolbox just vomited on the shop.
Well, it was also the fact that you have to understand, listeners, because Andrea understands this. All of my shit is always in motion. I'm moving this over here, moving that over there, putting this on that, putting this on this, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. So anytime I work on anything, there's like five bikes involved. It's just that's how it happens. It's like there's so many bikes involved every time I need to work on something. So it's a little bit annoying. That's why I'm trying to solidify and simplify my life, get my shit pretty simple, and not have to deal with this anymore. But it was like the crank came off the Crave, and then I had to go find the crank for the Crave, and then I had to put this pile of parts that I'd been saving for the Crave on the Crave, and then while I was doing that, I had to take apart the Scott, or
you took apart a wheel.
I'm not there yet. I took apart the Canyon so I could put the transmission on it. And then I had all the non-axis or non-transmission XX1 axis stuff sitting in a pile because I needed to take pictures of it because it's going to be for sale too. So if you need a 175 XX1 dub wide crank with XX1 rear derailleur pod controller, because the pod controller is silly, I'll never ride it. And an XG1295, which I think is X01, a cassette. I have unused stuff. It has a battery, a charger, B-gap tool, got all the fucking stuff. So, but like that was sitting in a little pile to sell. And like one of my friends is going to borrow this power meter that I'm not running at the time. So I had it set to the side so I wouldn't forget to let her know that she could pick it up sometime and yada yada. And then I'm like, oh, I've been battling this thing where I have a 15 by 100 fork and a 20 by 110 hub on my dirt jump bike. And haven't really figured out a good way to adaptify all that different stuff together. And I finally found a 15 by 100 hub. So I went ahead and tore down my wheels so I could take a hub and a rim to work and get my coworker to help me learn how to build wheels, because I'm going to learn how to build wheels this year. And then while I was building wheels, I was like, or tearing that wheel down, I was like, man, I really should take a number 2 flathead and make it into a nipple driver, because I'm the primary person tearing wheels. We have one dude at work that builds wheels great. And one of the things that I do is he's working on like bike number 1. And I'm like, yo, you going to build Jimmy or Sally's wheels today? They're like, yep. I'm like, I got you. And I'm the one that like I'll pull the tires and clean everything up and get the tape off and rotor and cassette and tear the wheels down. And I'm like, cool, here's the hubs, so you can rebuild their wheels for them. So I like mapped out on a number 2 Phillips and modified it on the grinder and then put it in the vise and cleaned it up a little bit. And then I realized because it's a hexagonal. Yeah, whatever.
Or hexagonal.
Hexagonal tool that when it touched the side of the spoke nipple, like entry point, that it kind of like chewed the rim up a little bit. So I put that in the lathe and I like took the hex off of it. And I just,
you don't have to go through all the steps,
but that's just what happened. And then I was like, shit, I'm tired. And I go inside and then Andrea's like, what the fuck?
I wasn't like, what the fuck? I was nice.
The way you said it and me knowing, like I did one of those things where I'm like, that's a problem for tomorrow me. And I like turned off the light and latched the door. And then she's like, you doing in the shop? And I'm like, yeah. She's like, you gonna tidy up out there? And I'm like, fuck, okay. Like, it's not what she said, or it's not how she said it. It's what she said and what I knew needed to happen. And I'm like, all right, fuck, okay.
I thought you were about to say it wasn't what she said, it was how she said it.
No, it wasn't how she said it. It's what she said. Because I knew it needed to happen. I was just being a lazy piece of shit. Now it's Kenny's turn.
Shit.
Oh.
You're not going to talk about the massive hole that you dug today?
Oh, yeah. A couple more things. And then one of the problems I ran into the last time I serviced a fork at home is Andrea had been doing tanning stuff, and it was just an absolute disaster. So when I cleaned the shop up last night, I was like, cool. I need to change the travel on my Zeb before I install it on my stump jumper. Started by like air hosing out the lights and like blowing off the walls a little bit and then vacuuming the countertop and sweeping the floor and then vacuuming the countertop some more. And I set up my little secondary repair stand that clamps in a bench vise, and I put my Zeb in it, and I left the plastic on it so as the dust settled from like sweeping and vacuuming, everything would be really clean. There's no hair, no problems. And then this morning I woke up and I was like, I'm going to haul the trash first. And when I got home from hauling the trash, I was like, man, there's some bumps in the road that I need to fix. So I went out and started fixing the road because the county. Wait,
so our road is gravel and it's not a county road. So it's just kind of up to the people that live on the road to sort of maintain it themselves on like the honor system.
And I am the honor system. So,
I mean, like we take care of the stretch of road, like.
That no one else does.
Yeah, that goes to our driveway that no one else really uses other than, like, our right next door neighbor.
And all of the neighboring road.
Yeah.
The lane.
Yeah.
So I go out and I start working on that. And then Andrea's like, she walks out to the road and she's like, yo, what are you doing? And
I was like, side quest McGee.
Yeah. And then we started getting ready to have meat birds. You're going to get a chicken nugget from Matt today. So we started cleaning that out, and I was like, well, I need to finish doing this hawk netting or hawk proofing that I've done. So we have a bunch of two old greenhouses that don't have plastic on them. They are covered in chicken wire. And I ran out of time the last time I was working on this, which was like a long time ago.
Last summer.
So it was fall. So I finished that today with Andrea's help, which included, it's a lot. Just to make a long story short, I used probably, no joke, like 400 staples today. And yeah.
And we were looking at the roof had leaked.
Oh.
Where the roof meets the wall.
This is 100% like if you give a moose a muffin shit. Because yeah. It's like, where are we going to put the meat birds? So we started cleaning that out. And then I was like, well, we should work on the chicken, like on the chicken wire over the greenhouses. And then it was like, man, it's been raining a lot, and there's some water intruding under this building, and we think the roof is leaking a little bit. So then we figured out how to fix the leak in the roof, so I cut up a bunch of sheet metal, like, roofing that I had to add an extension, because the roof really needed to be, like, 4 inches longer. And then while I was on the roof, Andrea brought me some stuff, and I cleaned the roof, and then we started looking, and over the years and years of this building has been sitting slightly downhill, we needed to get the dirt away from the building, and to get the dirt away from the building, we started doing stuff, and then 3 hours later, I dug a hole that at the deepest is like 12, 15 inches deep, and probably 48 inches wide, and 20 feet long.
We pretty much dug, like, the chicken coop sits on a very slight gradient.
Our entire property is a slight gradient.
Yeah, it's a slight gradient. And so just with rain, snow, everything, the dirt had basically just piled up around the three sides of the chicken coop and pretty much just dug the dirt back out and then kind of dug under a little bit to get the wet, like the dirt out from under the
siding.
Yeah, like the siding and the wood structure of the coop. So, yeah, hopefully that'll be dry now. It's been just moist in there for, I don't know, a couple of years, like, all around the ground. And that's not great. Like, the higher the humidity is in the coop, when it's cold, the chickens get colder if it's more humid. I mean, just like we do. So, hopefully that'll make it a lot drier in there.
And it's one of those things that, I don't know, there's so many things in life. Not just this house, not just this property, but like there's so many things in life. I mean, this was like 3 hours of digging, right? Wasn't the end of the world. And because it's under some gamble oaks, there was, it wasn't rocky soil. It was pretty quick going in terms of digging. And it's not like it was that hard. It was just making the time to do it. And yeah, I think that there's, you know, everyone listening there, you probably have 10 things that need to be done that you just haven't done. And it's not, I don't say need to be done like you left the stove on and like your cast iron skillet's 9,000 degrees. I mean, stuff like that, you know, and it may be like, you need to go get your tires rotated. You've just been putting it off for forever, whatever.
You ready to wrap it up? You're starting to get philosophical.
Then I ate some pizza.
Yeah.
All right, now it's Kenny's turn.
All right. Let's see. What did I do last week?
One other thing.
Oh, God.
I got a sick tattoo. There's going to be a new tattoo shop in Salida the next time listeners come to visit. You should get a tattoo there. Ryan Willard Tattoo. He's on Instagram. U-I-L-L-A-R-D Willard. His shit slaps.
Sick. Are so you ever, keeping it secret what you got?
It's Marley's paw print.
Oh, okay.
He was a sick little dog and like sick what sick. And then he was sick. And now he's not here, but now he's always on my arm. So he'd let me carry him around like a little baby and he'd put his foot against my other arm and just like hang out. And yeah, there we go.
How old was he?
Almost 15.
Okay.
And I got him when he was like barely one. We were together for a long time. Like, he was in that Ford Focus that pulled a U-Haul across the country when I moved to Colorado.
Yep.
Now it's Kenny's turn.
Jeez.
And I'll slap Matt if he starts talking again.
I don't have anything super groundbreaking. Got a couple things. Just rode moto, normal stuff. Rode the Husky. Did some mostly single track stuff. It was a good time. Nothing new. Just old stuff that I'd done before. What else is going on? Everything is all the vehicles and toys and stuff are all running pretty good. Everything's in tip-top shape. Just been doing maintenance stuff around the house. I've got, a lot of vehicles and toys. So, you know, certain vehicles need brakes and tires and just stuff. So doing vehicle maintenance. What else is going on?
Is the Ridgeline your only car?
No, I've got a Ridgeline and then I've got a Lexus CT200.
Oh, yeah, I knew that.
And many motorcycles. Yep. So anyway.
Did you add any this week?
I did. Well, kind of. I mean, I mentioned it, I think, on last episode or maybe the episode before.
I think you were looking at one.
Oh, yeah, I have been. Well, I'm always looking for sure. Like, I'm going to get something new and nice-ish in the next year or so, like, without a doubt, just for fun. Like, I'm going to treat it as I'm going to get something random, and you would think that I would probably sell the thing I use the least at that point and then like keep leapfrogging to something like new and fun and cool. But we'll see. I might just end up keeping them all. I'm pretty guilty of that. Anyway, way back in the day, my first street bike was an SV650, and that went on and lived a cool life with other people and did racing and all that kind of stuff. But I put a bunch of miles on that. It was a fun bike, great bike for someone looking to get into sport bikes. And I probably put...
Or get put in jail.
On an SV650? Nah. No, I mean, they're fairly tame. They make enough power where they'll kill you, but like they're not, you know, it's not a liter bike. But anyway...
I mean, it makes 75 horsepower.
Yeah, I mean, it'll go... if you're full tucked, it'll do like 130. So, you know, it's fun. From 0 to 80, it's pretty fun. And then it's pretty slow after that. But I put probably 20,000 miles on that bike. It was... Yeah, a lot of fun. Had a lot of good times. Took a lot of trips. So during that same period of time, I think my brother had bought his right before me. And that intrigued me because I'd been looking, but he picked one up. And I was like, oh, okay, I'll look at those too. And this was probably in 03. So a long time ago. Anyway, he bought it. He was finishing up school. Anyway, picked one of those up and he's had it ever since. But he's, you know, since had a family and moved on and done all kinds of other stuff. And many years ago, shoot, probably, I don't know, probably 6 years ago or 5 years ago or something like that, it was just sitting in his yard essentially. And he's like, man, you gotta like, I'm just gonna basically have to throw this thing away or whatever, because it arguably is not worth much. And it had been sitting with ethanol fuel in it for 15 years and not run, and it had a lot of, it was not just going to crank up. Like, you're not just going to throw a battery in this thing and it's going to be good to go. So anyway, I agreed to take it, that I would do it as a project one day. And yeah, this is now the day I finally decided to get it out of storage and start tearing it down. So that's what I've been working on. And yeah, run into all kinds of problems. So carbs came off first, and they were trashed. The tank is trashed. Every rubber line and hose, vacuum line, fuel line is trashed. So it's going to be a lot of stuff, but got the cars pretty cleaned up, pretty confident it's going to work. The motor does crank over, but as I was about to go fire it up for the first time, realized that I changed the oil and probably a gallon of water came out, which is really bad. A gallon of water came out first. And as I'm watching this gallon of water come out very quickly, I'm like, huh, that's pretty weird. I've changed the oil on these a lot of times. That was definitely the oil drain plug, zero doubt in my mind. And as I'm like saying this to myself, water is still gushing out. And then a bunch of oil came out. And I'm like, well, that's really bad. You don't ever want that. So I'm trying to think about all the scenarios where this could happen. But like, it's a pretty plugged up bike. It's not like it was missing a tank and it was like an exposed engine. It was like under a cover. And like kind of under a partial roof, definitely out in the elements, but not like out in the pouring rain. And there's no like open holes on the bike. Like there's no reason. So I'm thinking, well, is it conceivable that like with condensation and temperature change that like water would basically form essentially on the inside and like maybe a couple drops, but not a gallon. And I just kind of scratched my head and put it away for the night. And I did some Googling, and so this was basically a track bike. My brother pretty much only did track days on it, so it only had water in it and no coolant, so not immune to freezing. It was probably fine in California.
No.
It was probably, but
oh, no.
It lived in storage in Utah for a number of years, and it gets quite cold sometimes. Not a lot, but definitely it gets to single digits. So anyway. So now I'm thinking like, ah, shit, it's a crack block, like it's done, or something else really bad. And we'll see. It still could very well be bad, and it's definitely not good. But it just blew the there's freeze plugs in the heads. So both heads have two freeze plugs in them, and they're designed to push out. They're not really designed to ever be put back in, though. That's the whole thing that's weird to me, is they don't sell them, and they're not easy to put back in. It's a long story, because they've got like sealant on them, and it's like a steel plug and an aluminum hole, and yeah, anyway. And it's got to do two things. It's got to keep oil out of your coolant, and it also has to keep coolant out of your oil. So anyway, that's what I found. That was the other night. So I'm going to have a game plan. I think I'm just going to have to buy some new heads. They're really cheap. You can buy like naked heads with no cams or anything in them, just the casting essentially, and it'll have the freeze plugs in them. I think I'm just going to do that because I tried to hammer the plugs back in. They kind of don't really want to go back in. I got one in. It looked good. And then I took the other valve cover off. And I started hammering that one in, and there's like a little, it's like a almost a shoulder for pressing in a cartridge bearing. It's kind of that same thing. You can see a shoulder all the way at the bottom that it bottoms out against. And I'm ramming this thing in there and not hitting it that hard, but all of a sudden it just like shoots all the way through. And I'm like, well, shit, that's not good. And then I get to thinking, well, you can't get it back out again because it's in a hollow cavity inside the top of the cylinder head with no access port. The biggest hole is the hole I just freaking put that freeze plug in. So it is now permanently inside the engine.
Just start it up. It'll burn. Shoot out the tailpipe.
Yeah, definitely not. It is in the cooling passages. So anyway, moral of the story is probably not a big deal. I'll just get some head castings and then I got to swap over cams and valve train and all that shit. And it's not necessarily a good time. So anyway, we'll see. So I've been kind of on the back and forth like, man, do I get rid of this thing? Do I part it out? Like, oh, I don't have to deal with a zillion different people on eBay. I kind of want to just get it running. And if it costs me $500 to do so, then maybe it's worth it. So I'm just weighing all those options in my head, and I will keep everybody updated how it's going. But so far, so good. All the little things that I've been able to find and fix have gone fairly to plan. But the freeze plug thing was definitely a bigger issue. So anyway. That's my motorcycle stories, and that's pretty much all I got.
Andrea's turn. She was sick all week.
I can talk. Yeah, so I had a really bad cold thanks to work, and I spent Monday and Tuesday basically just couch surfing because if I got up and did anything, like one morning I got up and cleaned. Matt said we fixed our neighbor's bike. I got up and kind of like cleaned that up and did what I could on it. And I barely got through that. And I was like, I have to lay down. I'm fucking exhausted. Like, I'm just about to, like, collapse on my feet. And it was that. And I also, like, I could not. I mean, I had a stuffy nose. But it wasn't awful. And I couldn't smell or taste anything. Like, nothing at all. And I just happened to have a doctor's appointment Tuesday, like late afternoon, just to like a recheck appointment for my thyroid. And while I was there, I have a cold, and I told her, and I wore a mask into the clinic, and I'm like, look, I did an at-home COVID test. It was negative. But I'm going to wear a mask because what I have is obviously contagious and you don't want me to cough in your mouth. So I will just, I'll wear this. And she's like, I really appreciate that. She's very thankful. But she's like, she's like, if you haven't really had the main symptoms, but if you, I said, I can't smell or taste anything. Like, I can't taste hot sauce. I can kind of make out that it has vinegar in it. And it's getting better now. She's like, if you want to just go ahead and do like the full-on COVID lab test, I know your home test was negative, but if you want to do like the full lab test, we'll just do that since you're here. It's like, yeah, might as well. And they called me today. Everything was negative. It was like they tested like COVID, two flus, and RSV, and it was all negative. So just a cold, just a really shitty one. And so I'm just kind of getting over. Yesterday, I started to feel a little bit better. And then today, I was actually able to like do stuff all day, kind of at a slower pace, but still just do stuff. And I'm pretty tired now. But yeah, I'm glad to be starting to get over it. I still have a lot of snot, but I feel slightly less like just laying on the couch with the dogs all day. The dogs enjoyed it. They had a good time. But I think that's about it. Plants are doing great, and the chickens are doing great. They had a good time today. Chickens love when you dig because they like to eat the bugs and worms and stuff that, you're digging up. So the whole time we were doing that, they were kind of following us around and just pecking and scratching and knocking Matt's dirt back down in the hole that he just dug. But that's been my week, getting less sick. I'm glad the mayhem sold. What my plan is once I have my doctor appointment with a hand doctor for carpal tunnel on next week, I think Tuesday, and it's Monday or Tuesday, it doesn't matter. Next week, early next week, and I will find out kind of what the treatment plan is going to be and get through that. I have no idea when I'm going to be able to ride again, but I'm hoping that whenever I do, I'll buy something new and fancy in kind of the, probably like not quite what Matt just bought. He has a full-on cross-country bike, just whatever is in the slightly long-legged cross-country category. Probably get something like that. And in the future, if I feel like I need a big travel bike, I'll get something like that. Because that's really what I like, is to have a fast bike that I could really, if I wanted to go race on it or something, I could. And then just have like a huge whatever kind of big trail bike, small enduro bike kind of thing to back that up. But I don't want to make too many plans right now. But that's it for me. Do you want to do new shit or listener questions?
Let's run through some new shit really quick, which is, one, I want to go on a little bit of a rant.
Oh boy.
Y'all know that I love SRAM.
Matt's scooting his chair up close to the microphone.
I really need written transmission installation instructions. I need them.
What do you mean?
Do what?
What do you mean? Like, where would these things, do you want them like printed in every derailleur or something?
I can't find them on their website. I can find everything about transmission except the prepare, hang, tighten sequence. Yeah. Everything I find directs me to the video.
Gotcha.
I cannot do anything while watching a video.
Yeah, fair.
I
know that SRAM has a lot of really good resources out there, but sometimes I've got to dig way too deep to find them. Like, I never know, do I need to look in the current year frame specifications gigantic PDF, or is it actually is the information in the actual product tech doc, basically? Like, is it in the new transmission derailleur tech doc, or is it in some other thing? So I do also struggle sometimes finding what I need. I know it's there somewhere, but finding it can be a little challenging.
Like, everything they have points me to the video. I need a link on that page that gives me written instructions. And for everyone at home rolling their eyes, understand that I am not a mechanic. I'm a service writer.
I mean, I'm a mechanic, and I like the PDF instructions too, because I can like scroll and stop and go, like scroll back and
Well, for me, how do I put this? I know how to do it. I just need to make sure that I'm doing it. This is going to sound dumb, but hear me out. I know all the steps. I just need a quick 30 seconds of browsing through this refresher. I don't need to skip around on an 11-minute video. It's just, yeah, and yeah.
I'm pretty sure I just found it, but I just searched SRAM transmission or Eagle transmission PDF, and I think I got it.
Okay, you're installing the cassette. Okay, cool. We're going to install a bottom bracket. We're learning a lot about bottom brackets.
Yeah, it is a very large document.
We're learning about ISIS for e-bikes, how to install a pod controller, how to pair the system, how to use the different modes, how to size the chain, how to put it in setup key position, how to remove a UDH. You fucking found it. I need you to email that to me.
You just use Google and you...
I have been using Google.
And for what it's worth, I did find it pretty quickly as well. I just looked for...
You just... SRAM, I searched transmission. SRAM transmission PDF.
Yeah, I searched for just installation. And on the installation page, they've got overview with the video. And then right below it says view manual and then size chain. So they actually do have them both right there. Sorry, Matt.
Differently. Oh, you got it.
Yeah, no, I don't.
That's it. That's the document.
Get the fuck out. Watch this. So if you pull up the blanket one, yes, but if you try to be a good boy and go to...
Who the fuck uses the models filter? Who can remember the fucking model number on this shit?
By the way, I searched SRAM transmission install guide, and then the first two links for me is installation overview that has a video and then the two links to the manuals right below it. And then the second link has some overview. And actually, the cool thing about this is...
Okay, but hold on. Let me interrupt you, Kenny.
Yeah.
Because I fucked up because I went to RD90, Eagle 90 installation. And when you filter to that, you don't get the fucking prepare, hang, tighten steps.
Yeah, I just searched for transmission
in
general.
I don't know model numbers.
No. On the transmission page, there's filters on the left. And I used the filters and it took away the information that I needed.
Got it.
So I'm just going to start writing this shit down and taping it to the wall because I'm an old man. I tried to use the technology too good. So I guess I was caveman enough, but then too not caveman.
Sounds like it.
All right. New stuff that's... I'm going to be really snarky here. Rotor closes U.S. offices, cites tariff situation. What about the situation where no one needs a fucking rotor crank?
Yep, that's a real situation.
I mean, I don't really have anything to add to that. I mean, I'm not trying to... I know that people lost their jobs, and I know that that is a bummer of a thing, but also I want to be a little bit weary of all closures of bike brands in the next 12 months or however long. Not 12 months. I think a lot of people that are in this position where, like, I haven't touched a rotor crank in, like, years. So maybe people just don't need them. I mean, sorry. I'm, again, not trying to be rude, but, like, I think we're going to see a lot of people. It's going to be really easy, both internally and public facing, to be like, oh, the tariffs. When in reality, it's like, oh, we haven't been selling much shit. So, yeah. Santa Cruz has some Heckler batteries that are overheating. Did we talk about that already?
We mentioned that, I think, last time.
Okay. And then Pierre Mobility pulls out of e-bike and bike business. So no more GasGas or Husqvarna.
And I think we mentioned e-bike that last time, but maybe
we
not.
We did?
I think so.
I don't know. We talked about Moto brand e-bikes sometime in the last five episodes. Interesting stuff.
Pierre is evaluating options for Felt. Does Pierre own Felt as well?
Possibly. I have no idea.
Shit. It sounds like Pierre Mobility does own Felt. Also, when was the last time a Felt rolled through the door of your shop?
Yeah.
A long time ago.
All right. And now something I really wanted to rant about because this makes me really angry. David Zabriskie, known doper, is now launching a product that is a cognitive protocol supplement that you should take after a concussion that will help or claim to help with
recovery from a concussion.
So First Response is formulated for immediate support following a head injury, addressing neuroinflammation and oxidative stress. And then the next one targets prolonged cognitive support needs and is suitable for ongoing mental demands or age-related cognitive maintenance. Concussion support kits are available and prices range from $220 to $220. Even Bike Rumor says, is Cognitive Protocol a magic bullet for concussion recovery? Not likely. But it might be a step in the right direction for those seeking options alongside traditional care. You didn't need to put that next one in there, Bike Rumor. You just didn't. I don't like it at all.
Yeah, anything that claims to help with something that's a serious problem, like, obesity, cancer, concussions, like traumatic brain injuries, disabilities, like anything that hits, a supplement that hits that market, my first response is skepticism. And if they provide some actual, some peer-reviewed research to back it up that actually shows statistically significant results and not just like, yeah, the mice that took this were sometimes a little better than the mice that didn't take this. And, you're looking at animal models and not human models. There's the supplement industry needs to stay out of the medical field for the most part. There might be some, just so we don't get a bunch of comments. Yeah, there are probably a few out there that.
But those things are well known.
Yeah, there are a few things out there that are valid, but. Anytime you see something like this, just a word of caution for our viewers, go to Google Scholar, Google Scholar. And when you type, find out what the ingredients are in this supplement or what they say the active ingredients are and look those up. Look for research in humans with results that would back this up. And there's going to be a lot of scientific fluff in there, but not fluff, a lot of scientific language in there that's pretty difficult to read if you don't have a physiology background of any sort. But, usually just the title of the article is going to tell you what the overall results are. So just do that anytime you see anything like this making this sort of claim.
I went to their website. Do the supplements have clinical data supporting their efficacy? Short answer, yes. No links. Are these products suitable for vegetarian vegans? Yes. Vegetarian, vegan, and plant-based. Do your products contain allergens? Some of our formulas contain almonds. Our products are free from the following. Milk, eggs, peanuts, tree, nuts, except for almonds. Oh, wait, I read that wrong. I thought it was saying except for almonds, soy, wheat, fish, and shellfish. I'm like, wait a minute, if there's fish and shellfish in there, it's free of all nuts except almonds. And also free of wheat.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Anytime someone says that they have research, but they don't provide it,
if you're a supplement company and you say this is based on the latest research, go ahead and put a fucking link in there to the latest research, right? Like, why wouldn't you do that? Some of them do. Like, there are some supplements out there with some pretty bold claims, and they will put a link on there to research where they were looking at it in fucking fruit flies, and it might have had a small effect in fruit flies, but they put that on there. And if you want to read that and say, yeah, I'll try this supplement, then go ahead and do it. But, if someone says, yeah, it's cool, but they don't give you the proof, then I'd be dubious.
Yeah, so I don't know. Kenny, you got any thoughts on the cognitive protocol?
I do not.
Then let's talk about something that is not sad. Ghost released a new bike today or sometime. I don't know. Soon. Recently.
Recently.
Yesterday. 180 to 190 rear, 180 to 200 front. Fucking come on, get you some. That's just cool. It's a single crown downhill bike, and I fucking love it. It's called the Poca. Pooka?
Pocha?
P-O-A-C-H-A.
Pocha?
Pocha?
Maybe Pocha.
Let's see. Yeah, it's a big bitch.
But it's mullet.
It's mullet, and it's really... Actually, it's not that big. The reach isn't that big on the XL, especially with that super steep seat tube angle. It's sick, though.
Next thing.
That's all I got.
I just saw that Feedback is doing their own T-handle wrench set with the little spinner thing on it. And again, the spinner is about mid height in the tool, and they have the Park ones at work, and I like them, but I want the spinner to be down by the, like, bias towards the end, like the long end of the tool, not in the middle. It just gives you a little more control over it. And I think that's, you know, if you're going to make a set of these to compete with the park ones, that's what you should change. And people are going to be like, oh, shit. If you like that wrench, and some people hate it, but if you like that wrench and you just, and there's just a little nitpick about it, that's it. Like, that's the nitpick, is that that spinner needs to be down at the long end of the wrench. So get at it, people. Quit fucking it up.
Also, the feedback ones, you have to move the T from tool to tool. So
yeah, that's kind of silly. All right. What else we got? I opened this, but I haven't read it yet. Here's why Allied Cycles moved production to Asia. But I don't know. I haven't read through it. So you guys talk and I'll look at it.
I don't have anything to talk about. Kenny, you got any new shit?
I don't really think so. I clicked through. I think we've kind of covered most of the, cool stuff. There's not, like, surprisingly enough, there's not a whole lot of news. I mean, obviously post Sea Otter, there's not a ton of new stuff. Should we jump into questions? Do people submit their favorite bike stuff?
We had one person submit their bike. Let me open that email.
I saw some people discussing it on Slack.
What fucking window is that in? It's in this one. So Clayton, one of our patrons, longtime patron Clayton, says, here, Matt, you read. I'm going to lose my voice.
My favorite bike of all time was my orange in color open up gravel bike. It was my first really nice bike, and I got to build it frame up with the help of some friends who were mechanics in the bike shop, or at the bike shop. At the bike shop I went to at the time. It went through a couple of iterations in its lifetime, but in the end, it made me feel like I owned my version of a super bike. It was also what I would use to have my best seasons bike racing and some of the most memorable rides, including a second place finish in the unsupported category of the Silver State 508, which at the time was the fastest time a person under 30 supported or unsupported. More so than accolades, it carried me through a lot of personal struggles pre-2020 and was my main avenue of relief during the pandemic. One of my coolest rides I did on it was Super Pikes, which was a ride with some friends I did from Denver to the top of Pikes Peak and back.
Jesus.
The frame is still sitting in my basement, beaten and bruised. It will likely never get rebuilt, but I also don't see myself getting rid of it. It was the last bike that I had consistently good memories and emotions on. Clayton. So
that's a great story.
It is. We did Super Evans once, or Super Blue Sky now.
Yeah. Why are you talking and looking, like scrolling a website at the same time? It has nothing to do with what
you're
talking about.
I really want more colorful stuff. Anyways. What? Maybe we should continue this into next time, and we'll talk about our most memorable bikes then.
Well, I kind of figured that we would talk about a few. Do we mention ones that were in Slack that maybe weren't, like, officially submitted?
Well, let's rally through these other questions that we have.
Yeah, we got a few other questions. Let's see from...
Well, I guess we can officially then say, if we're going to hold on this a little bit, because we mentioned that last one after patrons, so some people may have tuned out. So if you have, you want to discuss what your favorite bike is and why, and was it because it rode so much better, or was it more of an emotional thing because of, like, the achievements you got on that bike, or both?
And go to our website, justridingalongshow.com, and tell us about your bike.
And while you're there, buy something.
We got bottles. We got bottles, stickers, and patches.
And if you think we should do another t-shirt order, email us.
Yeah, I'm thinking about some t-shirts. I don't know. It's a lot of energy for the amount of energy I don't have right now, but we'll go to our next question.
Wait, you were on it.
Oh, yeah. So from
Harry Colon.
Harry Colon. Harry Colon gives us the link to some more
info on the wireless shifter on MTBR forum, and it also has the price. Did you open that link?
No, because it was on Bike Rumor, and it looks like, so right now, if you go to their Kickstarter and sign up, you can get this thing for $80. Oh, if you go to, or if you wait, it looks like it's going to be $150. It's a big ass box that sticks on your derailleur. Like, there's no way you could mountain bike with that. And I don't know, just, it doesn't look, and I don't mean like it doesn't look good, like aesthetically, because I mean, I don't know. I'm not really looking at people's rear derailleurs when I'm riding or judging their bike or whatever. It doesn't look good, as in, like, it looks like it's going to get fucked off on the first thing that gets close to your bike.
Yeah, I agree that it both doesn't look good and it also looks sketchy.
Yeah, and it's cheap. compared to electronic drivetrains. You're correct. And I don't know, like, would this make, it's on, in this picture, it's on an SLX rear derailleur. Would it make an SLX rear derailleur not shift like shit? Because it kind of does. It's not great.
I just want people out there to remember ignoring whether or not you have an XD free hub. Actually, my computer was dying, so I closed it. I need to Google a price if it'll turn back on. Let's see.
I don't know. I mean, so the features on it that weren't in our initial discussion, it will be able to electronically pair with anything electronic on your bike. So if you had a Fox seat post, but you had SRAM, whatever, mechanical shifting, those things could be controlled with, I don't know how you would control those things with one button shifter, but apparently it will be able to pair with anything electronic on your bike, whatever the brand. So you don't have to have that company, like one company's full ecosystem. That's one of the main points that the developer of this system has mentioned. Like, that's one of the big selling points of it, is the price and the fact that anything that can be paired with a system of some sort for that company's full ecosystem, like, you could control it all with this. And I think that's kind of neat. Like, that's a good step in the right direction. But yeah, it's a giant fucking, yeah, it's light. It's under 100 grams. That's good, but it's going to be even less than 100 grams when it falls off the first time you, like, even if it's on a gravel bike, like, a rock jumps up and just knocks this shit off your bike. Like, it's just, it doesn't look like a good place to mount a piece of electronics on your bike. Like, if you told me to pick a spot on your bike, this would be, like, the second worst other than the down tube or, like, the bottom of the bottom bracket.
Like, you shouldn't. Yeah, and let me just throw this out there, because I thought mechanical transmission was going to be good. I didn't realize it was going to be fucking sick. Before you spend, and again, going back to ignoring if you need a free hub or not, because sorry, but for $525, you can buy Transmission 70. You get a brand new chain, a brand new crank, and a brand new cassette, and good mechanical shit. Like, there's just no reason to fuck around with stuff in 2025.
How many, just, and Kenny, you probably could answer this too. How many customers are going to have a totally fucking clapped out drivetrain that sucks and needs shit replaced? And they're going to be like, oh, instead of spending, you know, a few hundred dollars to replace my drivetrain, I'm going to buy this $150 box that's going to sit on my rear derailleur and then come into the bike shop when it doesn't shift right. And it's like, well, dude, your shit's just clapped. Like, you should have saved the $150 and just replaced your whole drivetrain, and it would shift better than your worn out drivetrain with this thing on it, right? Like, how often is that going to happen?
I think the only reason this is going to exist is for super weird fringe case stuff. Like, I don't know, something where you have to have an insanely long derailleur cable for, you know, a trike or something weird.
A tandem,
that kind of stuff.
Tandem.
So. Yeah, I don't know.
It could be really useful for that. That's something I hadn't thought of.
Yeah, so I think fringe use case, but mainstream? Yeah, no, definitely not.
All right, so that is Harry's. Here's your link. Let's see. Here we go about one of our listeners' experiences with Canyon.
So James likes bikes. Hey guys, I hope this message creates a podcast rant. I want to share the message for your listeners to not purchase a Canyon or Formula suspension. I work in a small shop. We had a customer bring in a new-to-him used Canyon mountain bike. We convinced him he needed to get a suspension service. Since he didn't know its history, it had a Formula fork. The only service center in the U.S. is BTI, and it took a month for parts to arrive from Italy. Not BTI's fault, but come on, that sucks. Also, we noticed the pivots were toast, so we tried to call Pivot 4 to 5 times, and their Canyon 4 to 5 times, and it says their phone will say replace in line and call us back, never to receive a call back. They have a part schematic online, but it blurs when enlarged and seems to have 5 to 7 kits to replace a full set of bearings and a bunch of parts repeat. We wanted confirmation we were going to purchase the correct parts and literally can't talk to someone to take our money. Fuck Canyon.
So if you want to know why something might be a little bit cheaper, that's why. Might sound good on the front end, and it's shit on the back end.
Yeah.
And for those of you out there in listener land wondering why I bought a Canyon, sometimes the price is
worth the hassle.
I made the joke with Andrea, if I took that Canyon frame and threw it in the trash, I would still be doing well.
Yeah, you could just take the parts that came on the Canyon and sell them for more than what you bought it for.
100%. So, with that said, and also I know what I'm getting into, and if I get really pissed off about it, I will fix that with my credit card and just order an Epic frame and move all this shit over. It's that simple. So just keep that in mind that I know what I'm doing.
You could also, if you can't get the seat post parts you need, just put a dropper post on it like you should.
I've decided it's getting a dropper, but we're going to talk about that later.
All right.
Because I'm gonna go about getting a dropper all the wrong ways. So.
All right. Well, and my advice to you, James, would be, and it's going to suck because this bike is going to be in a million fucking pieces in your shop until you get the parts. Just take the suspension apart, pull out all of the bearings, and sit down and at QBP or where.
Well, yeah, that doesn't help if you need like pivot bolts and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Like if you need hardware, you're going to be shit out of luck. But if it's just the bearings and you don't break anything when you're taking it apart or putting it back together, you can just pull all the bearings and just order new ones. But yeah, I mean, that's a huge pain in the ass. And the bike's in, you know, at least three parts, right? So you've got a rear triangle, you've got...
No, it's still one part because the brake line's running through it.
Oh, yeah.
So let me...
It's going to be a huge pain in the ass, but that's... If I were in that situation, that's what I would do. But yeah, like Matt said, I don't know if you need like actual hardware for it, which would be awful.
Well, this is what I would do if I were you. Oh, sorry. I would just let the customer know that after multiple attempts, I have not been able to source these parts and they need to settle up for what has been done, the Formula Suspension Service through BTI. And once they source the parts, they're welcome to bring the bike back. And I don't know your history, and I don't want this to sound like I'm talking down to you, but unfortunately, this is one of those times where you just need to learn from it. And just like when someone's like, hey, I need these Canyon parts, be like, cool, here's your serial number. This is where you find it on the frame. This is your bike model. We're happy to install those once you've received them. Because our shop is, we're pretty busy and we're very small. So like, I'm not afraid of somebody's like, hey, can you send this shock off to Fox? I'm like, yep. And I take their shock off and I'm like, I'll call you when the bike or when the shock's done, bring your bike back. Because I just don't want to deal with it for a month. So, yeah, don't be afraid to tell someone no, because also remember that your time is extremely valuable. And every minute, and don't just think, oh, well, I was on hold with Canyon for 10 minutes. You went and got the bike and you had it in front of you. So when they started asking questions, you were ready to answer them. And then you sat on hold for like 10 or 15 minutes. And sure, you might have been like, you know, changing a flat on a kid's bike or tidying up the workshop or whatever during that time. But then you get all pissed off and it takes you like a half an hour to get out of that funk. Like, and when I say all pissed off, like you're emailing someone saying, fuck Canyon, right? Like you're obviously not just like, oh, well, fuck it. So just take it as a learning experience. Be like, yo, I can't get that shit. And it's your problem. So,
yeah.
And yeah, as far as Formula Suspension, you know, we make the joke, custom bikes, custom problems, kook shit, kook problems, you know?
It's not like if you lived in Europe, Formula wouldn't be kook shit, but it's like any of the other things that we, bike components that we talk about, you know, if you're not buying from one of the big companies, you might have some problems with that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't expect to be able to go to the local CarQuest or whatever's in the UK and get an alternator for a insert very American car here, you know, and I'm not going to say something because they're going to be like, oh, well, they sold those.
I mean, you can't go to AutoZone in Salida and get an alternator for a Land Rover.
No, and that's not AutoZone's problem.
Yeah.
You know, they'll order me one.
Exactly. All right. And we've got one more. This is from Midget Money. He says, check this out. Send us a YouTube link. I have not looked at the YouTube link. But he does also say, you should loosely organize a JRA moto ride at Sargent's sometime. I'd have to come from Kauai, but I road trip to Rico last year via Washington. Awesome trip.
How about this? You tell me when you'll be here, and I'll try to talk Kenny into being here, too.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
You down, Kenny?
Sure, but I only have an e-bike.
It'll be fine.
I think there's like one trail in that entire state I'm allowed to ride on an e-bike.
No.
Like a motorcycle. A motorcycle ride.
I misheard that. I guess I heard bicycle ride.
A moto. JRA moto ride.
Ah, okay. Well, that I can do.
Also, Kenny, doesn't your green machine run on DeWalt batteries?
It sure does. It can run on any kind of batteries.
You going to sell that thing one day?
Yeah. I think I mentioned it to listeners at one point, but nobody really took me up on it because you can't really ship it. So it'd have to be somebody pretty local.
Yeah. Nah.
Oh, my God.
That's got to be a typo.
So
that has to be backwards.
I don't know. Sometimes you might have a lot of people that need to shit at the same time. So we also have a patron question from I Want a Mustache Ride from Burt Reynolds. He sends me a link to a house on Zillow in Hiram, Utah. He says, another question for Kenny. Can he please buy this house and turn it into a JRA retreat of sorts? I'll throw $100 into it. And this is a 70,000 square foot house. And it says you have 10 bedrooms and 18 bathrooms.
Yeah, pretty serious. Where can I see this?
I will send the link to you.
In the chat?
In the chat. Let's see if there's a share on here that'll make the link shorter. I know, that the link's like a... Here we go. This is what I'm looking for. All right, it's in the chat.
All right. 35 million. There are some ginormous houses in Utah from like weird pyramid scheme people. Yeah. That's pretty serious.
It's got a lake, sort of.
Got a huge barn.
Yeah, what's wrong with that lake? It looks like shit.
That barn looks like it's halfway put together too. I think the lake is just a result of drought.
Yeah, I think that probably, I'm guessing that the quality of this is lacking. That's my educated guess.
Yeah, the shop barn thing is just like under construction, it looks like.
And there's still people working there.
Does it come with a mountain?
Maybe.
I don't know if it comes with a mountain or not.
God, who even knows that many people? Like, I don't have anywhere near the number of friends to have a place like this. I don't even know enough people. Like, I don't have that many people in my phone. Even people that I haven't talked to since I put their number in my phone. It's got fucking underground tunnels and shit.
Oh, this is definitely bunker. Dude.
And what's going on in the barn? Why is there a swimming pool in the barn?
Andrea, I don't have a computer now. So.
Yeah, I'm just scrolling through all these pictures and it's...
But they're digging what appears to be a swimming pool hole in the barn.
It doesn't matter. We got to go to something else. This is dumb.
But yes, if you are bored, you should... Oh, wow. There's a full blown underground bunker. Jesus. What in the hell? But there's all kinds of crazy huge houses in Utah. So if you're bored, go look at Zillow. It's hilarious.
I thought there was another listener question we haven't done.
No, there's not. That one's got a lot of questions in it. I'm just saving it for later if we need it.
Well, we should do that one next week.
All right.
You should read patrons and we should go.
Why is that? Are you racing some weed candy right now?
No.
Okay, just making sure.
I've been enjoying these taste buds, and I have a pretty good idea of their timing, and I am well ahead of schedule.
Okay. So
I am not in danger.
All right. So first off, we had a couple of new patrons. You've got, let's see, I know Savannah is a new patron. We've got Devin. Also joined. I think we mentioned Brian last week, but I'm going to give a shout out to Brian just in case we didn't.
That confused me.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So our patrons starting at $10 per month. We've got Zozo. What even is a Patreon name? Tom P. bleaches his stink wrinkle. Tom's P. Timothy. Ty. Tennessee Zach. Taylor Zwift. Taper Bore Pro. Skunk in Your Trap, Samuel, Ryan, Ride Time Extended,
Pork Chop Sandwiches,
Noah, My Pal Dal, MTB Shenanigans,
Mike Jones,
Leland, Josh, Jim the Fucked Up Trike Guy, JC, Jared, Jake D, Holden, Two Dicks, Green Giant, Gordon, Fuck Bike Rumors, Shitty Website, Frank the Tank, Eric, Chunk, Norris, Captain Fickle, Cannondale's New Fork, The Stranger, Cam Irish One, Bill, Bearded bag o' dicks, barrel o' dicks, anus, anus, balls, anus, balls, angry JRA forever. AJ, Aaron, underscore, at $11.11 per month, we've got single speed racing, where average becomes a lifestyle choice. Catamelon Disco at $14 Australian, Dean at $16.50 Australian, and at $20 a month, we've got Scott, Poop Wrench, Joe, I want a mustache ride from Burt Reynolds, Brian, new patron Savannah Mohawk at $26.06 per month, Harley at $30, Troy at $31, and Six Pack Outdoors. We kudos our own rides at $50. Whew, that was a lot. So thank you to all of our patrons, new and old. You guys ready to shut it down?
Shut her down.
No more rants. We done with rants for the night?
Done.
Yes.
All right. Well, thank you all for listening and good night.
Thanks for tuning in to the Just Riding Along Show.